In American culture, the whole idea of service is met with great contempt. No one strives to work in the service industry. And in fact, we give lip service to those who serve. It is a great hypocrisy, I think, to say that we respect those who serve and we talk about them in glowing terms. But when push comes to shove, we pay them little. We rarely recognize them. The waitress who brings your lunch, are you looking for a reason not to tip her generously? She's working hard, working her way through Blinn, trying to make a better life for herself. She's in the service industry. I think of school teachers. We give lip service to the whole idea of respecting them. We've asked them to do an impossible job, to teach children who are often undisciplined, and whose parents will not stand with those teachers. Preschool teachers, daycare workers, the same way. I mean, think about it. They put up with your children's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and yet often they are invisible to the very families that they serve. We give lip service to respecting the military, our first responders, our EMTs, our firemen, our policemen, and yet we pay them so very little. We demonstrate that it's all talk. And yet today, what do we find? We find Jesus' instructions here that you and I are to be servants of Him, of others. Jesus' disciples come and they've just heard from Jesus instructions, hard instructions. If your brother sins against you 7 times in a day and comes to you and says, please forgive me, you are, and evidently in heaven, there's sound effects to this, to forgive him. And the disciples hear that from Jesus and they go, there is no way we're going to be able to do that. And so they ask Jesus, they say, Jesus, increase our faith. And Jesus, first of all, seems to insult them. And then after he seems to insult them, he doesn't even answer their question, or so it seems. The apostle said, Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Jesus continued, will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at table? Will the master rather not say to his slave, prepare supper for me, dress properly, and serve me while I eat and drink? And afterwards, slave, you may eat and drink. Does he thank his servant, his slave, for doing what he had commanded? Verse 10, so you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, are to say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what is our duty. There is, in our days, an increase in the idea of godliness. 3 times just in the last week by 3 completely separate families, people have looked at me and said, Pastor Bard, we want to be more godly in our family. What does that look like? And it's not a surprising question. Those of you who are raising children and those of you who are growing up in this culture, you're faced with all kinds of strange philosophy. Nihilism, which basically says nothing matters. This life is all a big farce. Nothing in this life matters. So get what you can get while you're here, because really, the rest of it is nothing. There's narcissism, which is the only thing that matters is me. And you know the narcissist because they take their favorite picture all the time. The selfie. Look, here's a picture of me. Here's another picture of me. Oh, look, another picture of me. Do not spend the rest of the sermon deleting photos from your phone. You mix nihilism with narcissism, and you mix that with immorality, which is basically the abandonment of any fundamental foundational principle. And you have a culture that has no bearing. You have a culture that has no foundation. And it doesn't surprise me that so many people are interested in what it means to be godly. This is really what the disciples are asking for here, recognizing that they cannot live up to Jesus' command to forgive their brother seven times. They say, Lord Jesus, increase our faith. Give us more. Jesus, we believe and we follow you. But Jesus, we want you to help us be better disciples. And Jesus' response to this is kind of rude. Jesus, increase our faith. You know, if you had more faith, you could say to that tree over there with deep roots, be picked up out of the sand and the ground and be thrown into the sea. Well, thanks, Jesus. That was helpful. I'm a big believer in the fact that Jesus often makes fun of his disciples. I actually don't think that's what's going on here. There are times when Jesus makes fun of his disciples, no doubt. But I think there's something deeper that's happening here. And then after Jesus says this about faith, talking about faith that needs to grow, he tells them a parable which seems completely disconnected. They ask Jesus a how question. How can we have more faith? And Jesus gives them a B answer. Jesus, we want you to wave your hand over us and increase our faith. And Jesus says, let me tell you a story about a servant. And that seems disconnected from both the previous points. Jesus says, a man has a servant and he's worked out in the field all day. He's a slave. He is owned. And remember, I think we talked last week about the whole servant-slave thing. Slave makes us uncomfortable. We're a little happier with servant. But the word really is slave, bondservant, someone who is owned. And he comes in from the field and Jesus says, just because he's worked hard all day, do you think the master will not say to him, change your clothes, go make dinner, feed me, and then you can eat? And you and I hear Jesus tell that parable and go, that's not very nice. Jesus is kind of harsh today. What on earth is going on here? They ask Jesus to increase their faith. And instead he tells them a parable about servanthood. Dear ones, the parable about service teaches the way to increased faith. Let me say that again because you've got to pick this up with me. The parable about the servant teaches you and I increased faith. Have you seen The Karate Kid? The old one, not the new one. I didn't realize it, but that's a 40-year-old movie now, right? Wow. Daniel's mom is a single mom. They have moved to a new town. Daniel gets beat up by the local bullies. And yet he finds someone to teach him karate. And he's so excited because Mr. Miyagi is going to teach him how to beat up the bullies. And Mr. Miyagi agrees. And there's this scene in The Karate Kid. I just love this. This scene in The Karate Kid where Mr. Miyagi says, I'm going to teach you karate, but you have to do exactly what I tell you. And Daniel, who he calls Daniel's son, says, I absolutely will do what you tell me to do. And Mr. Miyagi hands him a wet sponge and says, wash the car. And when you're done washing the car, I want you to wax the car. The very next scene, right? Is Daniel waxing the wrong way? In the dark. And Mr. Miyagi comes out and takes his hand and says, no, this way with the right and this way with the left. And so many of you, anytime your dad ever asked you to wax anything, would wander through the house going, wax on, wax off. You see, for Daniel, the idea of waxing was completely disconnected to the idea of learning how to beat up the bullies. But what was he doing? He was developing the skills necessary and the muscles necessary and the muscle memory necessary to defend himself. This is servanthood. This is Christian service. Lord, increase our faith. Jesus says, friends, learn to serve. Lord Jesus, teach us to be godly. And Jesus responds, dear ones, understand your role in this world. Learn to serve. No, Jesus, we want you to wave your hand over us and increase our faith. And Jesus says, my children, understand your place in the kingdom as that of slave. Be about the business of the kingdom, service, and your faith will grow. Our faith is increased. Our faith grows while we are being slaves of Jesus Christ. The reverse is actually true. When you and I choose to be self-centered, when you and I choose to be myopic, our faith actually shrinks. Our faith actually dies a little bit. Is this not why we take youth to South Texas every year on mission trip? Pastor Bard, what's the purpose of mission trip? Simple, increased faith. Jeff, is today a breakfast taco day? Yes? Buy breakfast tacos. Send your pastor to sweat next summer. I think you're going next summer. I think I'm done. Yes. I think I just made that decision. Pastor, what happens down there? You know what happens down there? Teenagers get off their phones and share Jesus Christ with children who have never heard before, ever. Teenagers who throw away half their dinner and annoy their grandparents when they do, go to South Texas, to the Rio Grande Valley, and work with our mission partners, and they feed people who are actually hungry. And then they look at Jeff, and they look at Miss Connie, and they go, do people actually eat what we're feeding them? And they go, yes, they do. And what happens? Faith grows by service. What does it look like to serve Jesus Christ? Pastor Bart, I came to church today. Is sitting in this pew today serving Jesus? It is not. If you think this is your service to the Lord, you have it completely 180 degrees backwards. From the moment you walked in and sat down in this place, you have not been serving God. God has been serving you. We sing a hymn of praise, and what was the next thing that happened? Our pastor looked at us and said, all those sins from the past week, again, because evidently we have sound effects to forgiveness now, forgiven. God serving you. You heard the word, and God fed you. You said the psalm together, and the Lord fed you. This is not your service to God, dear ones. This is God serving you. But Pastor Bard, what about my tithes and my offerings? Dear ones, you owe that to the Lord. Everything you have, He has given you. Giving Him back a tenth of it is not your service to God. It is simply you saying thank you. Well, Pastor Bard, when I have my daily devotions every day, that's service to God, isn't it? When you sit down and read your Bible, that is the Holy Spirit feeding you. When you pray, that is the Creator of everything, bending His ear to listen to another broken sinner, calling on Him in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what service is? Service is when we take care of the people God puts in front of us.
Pastor Bart, I really don't like the people God puts in front of me. Last year, mom of a toddler looked at me and said, Pastor, I really don't like my child. I said, sweetie, I'm old. No parent likes their toddler. By the way, you can take the word toddler out and put teenager in there as well. But you can also say, for teenagers, Pastor Bart, my parents, my boss, my employees, school teachers, my students, my teachers. When you and I recognize the needs of the people God puts around you, that is Christian service. When you and I stop and care for someone who is hurting that God puts in your way, that is Christian service. Mama, when you get up in the middle of the night to care for your child, that is Christian service. Mom and Dad, when you go out to work every day to make a living, to put food on the table, that is Christian service. This is what it means to serve Jesus Christ. We serve the people God puts in front of us. We don't have time this morning because we're already running a little long. By the way, not my fault today. You don't believe me? Go read the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's the Samaritan that serves the man who God put in front of him, the enemy. Jesus tells the lawyer who asks the question later, you go and do likewise. Pastor, I really don't like the people God put around me. That's what makes it service, dear ones. Now, some of you are going to stop and say, wait a minute, Pastor, this is a sermon series on the puzzle of money. Where does money come in? I am so glad you asked. Because if you and I are about the business of Christian service, if that becomes our focus, there's this amazing thing that happens. All the stuff we have been chasing fades into the background. And we start trusting Jesus with our life. You see, the servant, when he comes home in Jesus' parable, and you and I hear this is very harsh, and Jesus asks it in an interrogative, in other words, he's asking questions. He says, does the servant feed himself first? Of course not. He changes his clothes, and he goes and makes his master's meal, and he sets it before his master, and then he goes and takes care of himself and feeds himself and lays down to rest at night. Why? Because the servant is owned. The servant's not worried about the house or the food. The servant's not worried about a place to lay his head because the servant is the property of the master. You and I can spend our lives running around after the things of the world. We can only serve ourselves. And we can miss the promise of being the servant. You see, the owned servant doesn't worry about what he's going to eat. The master provides the food. And the owned servant doesn't worry about where he's going to sleep because the master provides the house. And the owned servant doesn't worry about the change of clothes between the field and the house because it's the master who provides his clothes. Because the owned servant is just that. He's been bought. You have been bought. The Apostle Paul says, you have been bought at a great price. The very blood of Jesus Christ avails for you. Christ goes to the cross for your sins. That is true. Christ goes to the cross for forgiveness. Boom! That is you. But once he has forgiven you, you belong to him. This is why Jesus can say in the Sermon on the Mount, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body not more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? So why do you worry about clothing? Even the lilies of the field, how they grow. Look at them. They neither toil nor spin. Yet not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. So Jesus said, do not worry about what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what we shall wear. For the pagan people run after all the things of the world. Your heavenly Father knows that you need these. So seek first the kingdom. Dear ones, when Christ died on the cross, he didn't just forgive your sins. He claimed you as his own. You belong to him. You are bought at a great price. The Lord calls us today to service, to a recognition that the people around us, as Luther said, it's the people of God who need our service, not God himself. The Lord calls us today to set aside this grasping at the wind of the things of the world and to love the people, to care for the people whom he has put in front of us. His grace, his peace, his mercy be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.